section two is entitled the geographer's craft, meaning what is it exactly that the geographer does? What are they trying to accomplish? What is that profession all about? Okay? See if my remote's going to work for me today. That would be nice. Come on. You do it. There we go. Now it's moving. Now it's double timing on me. Okay. First of all, the elements of geography, meaning the pieces of geography. Geographers study the location of people and places on the Earth's surface and the patterns in which they are arranged. And if I were to break down geography into a very short sentence, you can get all kinds of different technical definitions. But geographers are going to look at the physical environment, the natural environment. They're going to look at mountains, rivers, lakes, bodies of water. They're also going to look at people. So they're going to look at the natural environment. They're going to look at kind of the human world or people. They're going to look at human society, people living together, how that works, how people relate to each other. And they're going to look at how people interact with their environment. We're always interacting with our environment, even though it might not feel like it sometimes, especially when you're inside the fortress that is my room with no windows. Might feel like you're not interacting with your environment. But on some level, you still are, because everything that is surrounding you right now was made out of something from your environment. So, again, the interaction that took place was the use of natural materials to make this room that you now sit in. Okay, electricity provides light for you. All these things were produced from your environment. So, geography on the whole is basically that. It's people, it's the environment, it's the interaction between those two main categories. Now we just have to push it a little bit harder than I thought. Okay. Some of the different ways that geographers are going to go about studying the environment, they're going to look at something we call spatial relationships. Spatial relationships are links between people and places, or links people and places have to one another because of their location. And links people and places have to one another because of their location. So they might look at people like yourselves and the links that you have to your environment here in Aberdeen. If you are one of the many people that is going to be affected a little bit probably by some flooding this spring when the snow melts, they will look at kind of the interaction between the natural environment, the melting of the snow, the flooding that takes place, how that affects people, and how people can affect their environment. When we develop the sump pump, we're interacting with our environment. We're trying to change the effects of our environment on our lives. Okay, that's the interaction that's going back and forth between people and their natural world, their natural surroundings. Okay, so geographers are going to look at things like that. They use a number of different terms to diagnose or to clarify a little bit about the different things that they look at. One of those terms is a site. When a geographer says a site, they mean a specific location of a place, including its physical setting or its natural setting. Some of these terms the geographer is going to use a little bit different than you might use it. You might see site, S-I-T-E, and think of website. They're talking about a specific location of a place and its physical environment or natural environment. They also use the term situation. A situation refers to the geographic position of a place in relation to other places and its connection to other regions. And when we talked about location yesterday, we talked about absolute location, which was kind of like your GPS coordinates of a place, how we describe exactly where a place is. You might say, this place is 39 degrees north latitude, 87 degrees west longitude, and that's a way that you can list off the absolute location, but you also might say, you might use relative location. You might say that Aberdeen is northwest of the Twin Cities. Okay. In addition to that being relative location, it's also what geographers would call situation. Okay? Referring to the geographic position of a place in relation to other places. Make sure to stop me and ask questions if there's something that's not making sense, there's something that's a little bit confusing. These are kind of our foundational things, things that we need to understand as we go forward here. They also use the term place, but when a geographer says place, they mean a particular space with physical and human meaning. Physical and human meaning. What they're talking about with that is, when they are talking about a place, they're talking about both its natural characteristics, it's things that have absolutely nothing to do with humans. If you're talking about a place like Aberdeen, or if you're talking about, say for example, this school, its physical setting would be what was here before anything was done by humans. It would be literally the ground, the field that this school was built upon. Now, its human meaning today is everything that humans have done to it, how they've changed it, how they interact with it now. So the school today is something that has been built by human beings, and it's also kind of a community center where kids come and they get an education here. So this place has both a natural setting, which is basically what, in kind of in the middle of a field, we've changed it now, but it was in the middle of a field, okay? And it also now has a human meaning because it's a school now. So that's how geographers are going to look at a term like place. When they say place, they're meaning both the physical and the human meaning. They also use the term region. When they say region, they're talking about areas with similar characteristics. When we look forward and we start studying countries, we're not necessarily going to just look at one country or another country, we'll kind of break the world into chunks or regions. Okay? Large areas of multiple countries, many different countries that have kind of similar characteristics. We're going to look not just at Africa, we will look at first the Middle East and North Africa because there are similarities there. Culturally, the natural environment is similar there. We'll then look at Sub-Saharan Africa, or everything kind of from North Africa on down. We'll break up the world in a different way according to areas with similar characteristics. So geographers use the term regions in order to illustrate that. They break the world down kind of into three different types of regions. Okay. A formal region is defined by a common characteristic, such as a product produced there. For example, we can talk about a place like the Corn Belt. The Corn Belt runs, or what people talk about as the Corn Belt, runs kind of through Nebraska, kind of through here. They call this area the Corn Belt, basically because a lot of corn is grown in that area. So that area is kind of described by a product that is produced there. A lot of people make their living producing corn, therefore we call it the Corn Belt. Therefore that area or that region has that common characteristic of producing corn. So that's a formal region. Geographers also use the term functional region, which is a central place and the surrounding area linked to it. A functional region might be something like, well, Aberdeen itself. Aberdeen has a kind of central location here. It has the city of Aberdeen. In addition, if you were to include the surrounding area, if you were to go, you know, all the way to Groton or the outside outlying area, a lot of you might even, how many people live outside of town? You've got a handful of people that live outside of town. Come to school here, you know, maybe your parents work in Aberdeen, or maybe they work in another town kind of nearby. We're not just talking about Aberdeen anymore, we're talking about the functional region of Aberdeen. Okay. Kind of how that all works together. So a central place and the surrounding area linked to it. Another example might be the Twin Cities, and I say that because I've lived in the Twin Cities and I know it really well. You have two main cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, but you have a whole surrounding area that has sprung out. So Minneapolis and St. Paul, yeah, I think you have a population of, you know, 250,000 or so in Minneapolis, another 250,000 or so in St. Paul. But the surrounding area, all these suburbs that have sprung out, if you add all the populations up together, you get about 3 million in what they call the metropolitan area. Okay. So the functional region is much more than just those two cities or that central area, those original cities. The functional region is now huge. It's 3 million out of about 4 million in the entire state. So that's what we're talking about with a functional region. They also use the term perceptual region. A perceptual region is a little bit more abstract. It's defined by popular feelings and images rather than by kind of objective or hard data. So a perceptual region, for example, might be something like the heartland. People talk about the center of, kind of the center of our country, not the coast, but the center of our country kind of being the heartland of America. And they describe it in that way. What are they trying to say with that? You know, sometimes it's a little bit tough to define, but for the most, they're kind of saying the core of America, you know, maybe a lot of the work that gets done, you know, a lot of good people or whatever living in kind of the core of America. They call it the heartland, kind of everyday Americans. Now, that's not really an objective thing. That's just kind of a feeling, a general feeling about that area, okay? So that's an example of something a little bit more abstract, again, that we call a perceptual region. Talked a little bit yesterday about different kinds of geography studied inside of the kind of overarching term that we call geography. At the high school level, we're going to teach you geography. That includes different types. If you went on to the college level and you studied geography, you might study different types of geography. You might study physical geography. Might study human geography. You're going to get a little bit of all of that in this course. Again, physical geography is going to focus on the study of the Earth's physical features, the natural features. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. And we'll touch on that over and over again as we go throughout the course. So that'll become very second nature to you. We're also going to include inside of geography, human geography, or the study of human activities and their relationship to the cultural and physical environment. So the focus, not just on the natural world, but also human activities, how we relate to our natural world, that comes under a different part of geography we'll call human geography. A big part of studying the natural side of the world that geographers get into is they look at ecosystems. An ecosystem is a community of plants and animals that depend upon one another and their surrounding areas for survival. You live inside of an ecosystem right here. There is kind of an interdependent group of beings and animals in this area. And especially, it would probably be easier to understand if you step back about 150 years. If you were to look at Aberdeen 150 years or so ago, you would have probably had some people here. Probably not many, but you would have had some people here. You would have had some wild game here. You would have had vegetation here, and all those things would have worked together to, you know, the people would have eaten the wild game, they would have eaten the natural vegetation, that would have supported the people. Okay, you would have had an interaction between all these different elements or pieces going on. You would have had some animals eating smaller animals, you would have had some smaller animals eating the vegetation. All those interactions that go together make up the ecosystem of, you know, old historical Aberdeen, okay? That's a real focus of another part of geography. Another big focus of geography is looking at movement. Again, I think I talked a little bit yesterday about how much we move. And we started to look a little bit at migration, why people migrate going back thousands of years. But again, how many people are not originally from Aberdeen? Coming from other places, and people move for all kinds of different reasons, and different things move for all kinds of different reasons, and that's a real interest of geographers, looking at why people move from place to place, why animals move from place to place. It's a real focus, because you can't really understand the world if you don't understand that it doesn't always stay the same, that people move, that people migrate, that people move from different places. And not only people, but ideas, different goods. Again, I just talked about how wheat doesn't originally come from North America, even though we grow a lot of it now in the Great Plains, and it's a huge part of our economy here in the U.S. One of the reasons why we have such a strong economy, but it wasn't originally ours. It wasn't originally native to North America. That came from somewhere else. You can't understand the physical geography of the United States unless you understand that things come from other places, that goods like that, that wheat and barley came from other places. Okay. So again, movement is a recurring theme in geography, tracking the movement of people, goods, and ideas. And we're going to talk about movement a lot and over again as we go through the course. Another main principle, and I talked about this quite a bit already, so I'm not going to do much more with it, is human-environment interaction, which is just the study of the relationship between people and their physical environment. Again, very important. We'll touch on that plenty of times as we go along. Geographers also examine the ways people use their environment, how and why they change it, and what consequences result from these changes. We're going to look at some little video clips and different things looking at some of the ways that people change their environment in a positive fashion, and sometimes how people change their environment and it cannot be so positive. It can be a little bit more negative. You can get bad side effects. You can get pollution. You can get maybe over-hunting, over-fishing, and all those different consequences. That's an example of human-environment interaction. I know I'm buzzing kind of fast, but again, we don't have a tremendous amount of time to spend on notes on a daily basis, so I do go kind of quickly. Some of the different ways that geographers study, they get their information. Again, it's a science. You have to get it from somewhere. You can't just make this stuff up as you go, even though that would make the job of a geographer a lot easier. But they have to get their data. They have to get their information from somewhere. They do it in a lot of different ways. They can observe things directly, kind of, you know, with a visual. They can look at it. They can observe it, and they can get their data that way. They go about mapping different areas, laying out where things are. They might interview a group of people. If you want to get information on, you know, again, I just did it with you guys. How many people are from other places? Well, I just interviewed you guys, and I got a bunch of information about where people come from. I could now put out some data on where people from, how many people are native to Aberdeen and how many are not. I might say, well, about 30% of my class is not native to Aberdeen. So, you know, I've got some data there. So, one way that if you want to get kind of human information, you can go about it is by interviewing. You can analyze statistics. If you already have some data, you can analyze those statistics, see what patterns they come up with, and geographers are going to do a lot of that, looking at different statistics that might already be present and trying to figure out what those statistics mean about what's going on. And obviously, as I talked about yesterday, they use technology now to make maps and also to do a lot of work with those stats. Geographer doesn't exist kind of on its own island. As we go through, you're going to see a lot of other courses kind of inside of here. You're going to see history inside of here. You're going to see economics inside of here. We're going to study on a superficial level religion and culture. There's some sociology in here. There's some psychology in here. It doesn't exist in a vacuum by itself. Okay, there's a lot of other things that are going on here. For today, I think I'm going to stop right about here.